At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Messy & Co. I'm Ashley here, as always, with my incredible co-host, Gian. And there is so much to talk about. We have a lot to do in this episode. We're doing some recaps of last game. We're doing some preview of next game. We're doing some Inter-Miami news, some player news, just so much happening. But before we get into all of that, how are you doing, Gian? Mi amigo.
I am doing good. Excited to talk Inter-Miami. A lot of stuff to talk about, not just last game, but the next game to come, as well as a few different interesting things that I think that have happened that we have a lot of opinions and a lot of things that have been shared across the socials from a lot of fans. So I think that that'll be interesting to discuss today. But also, hold up. I'm just looking at you. Is your hair pink?
Wow, I was going to say, you're a good friend, because I was going to say the first update we have to do is my hair. And yes, well, it's not pink, it's red. But yeah, I cut my hair, like, it's really short now. It used to be much longer, and I completely changed the color. So you're a very good friend for noticing.
Cool. I usually don't figure these things out, so that's pretty interesting. I thought for a second, I was like, she added like a neon light, or not neon, but like a light or something, or that's your hair. Pretty cool. Is it Inter Miami or just a coincidence?
No. Just a coincidence. It's like a dark, I don't know how much our fans or people listening care about it, but it's like a dark red, like wine color magenta. I was going to go like blonde, but it was going to take a lot of time. So I'm going with the red.
Oh, that's pretty cool though. Awesome.
Thank you.
Let's get some comments in the YouTube. What you guys think about Ashley's new hair color?
Don't be mean or else like I'll cry.
Let her know how much you like that hair color in the comments.
Yeah,
let her know how much you like it. So, but that's awesome. I'm also thinking about going a different color as well. So
what color?
Well, I don't know yet. Well, maybe we'll leave it up for a vote. We'll put up a poll. What color should Dion color?
If Inter-Miami win the MLS Cup, you have to dye it pink for a week.
Oh, I'm down. I'll do that.
Okay. I'll do it. Obviously.
I'll do it. I'll 100% do that. 100%. All right. There you go. There you have it. On record. Okay. On record, we will paint our hair if Inter Miami wins the MLS Cup. So now it sounds fun right now, but I feel like I'm slowly getting anxious. And, you know, there's still a lot of time.
That's for future you to worry about, because it's happening. Thank you. Well, but yes, I did dye it. So thank you for noticing. I'm happy with it. I like to change my hair up. One of those fun things. So let's start though, continuing about positive good things, is that we had our first League's Cup game this past Saturday against Puebla, home at Chase Stadium. Inter Miami defending League's Cup champions. But as we talked about, a very different roster than last year. One piece of it that has stayed the same, but obviously wasn't available, was Lionel Messi still recovering from his ankle injury. We have an update on that also that we're going to do a little bit later in the show. But overall, you know, a really good win, in my opinion. They won, I believe, 2-0 was the end score, and pretty convincing win overall. And, you know, Inter Miami just really keeps going on this really just amazing streak of games where they're winning and dominating and just playing excellent with whoever's in the game. You know, you don't know who's going to be starting. You don't know who's going to be coming off the bench. You don't know who's going to be that difference maker and who's going to score the goal or get the assist. It's different every game, and it's just been really great to watch.
100%. I mean, I think Inter Miami is, it's one of the best iterations that we've seen of this team. And it's just surprising that it comes at the heels of no Messi. You know, it's not that I'm attributing that to it. It's just like, what a perfect time for it to happen when you're missing your best player, for your team to look the best it ever has, just kind of showing that, hey, we still got enough talent on the field. And just looking through this record, it seems to me that, man, like, Inter Miami is just rolling here. They've won, what is it, 1, 2, 3,
has to be 8 of last 9.
Six of their last seven, or eight of their last nine, or something like that. Like, they're just like incredible. And rolling. For them to show out at Chase Stadium this past game, like, they did very well. I think everybody looked good, to what you had said earlier. It was just an all-around team game. Everybody looked great. We saw Hector. David come from River Plate, and he played his first game. We weren't sure if he
started.
He started, and he looked great. He played amazing defense. That center pairing looked really good on the defense. Obviously, a clean sheet. You had Dos Santos as a goalkeeper.
Yeah.
He looked really good. He had a few saves there, so I thought that was really good for him. Great experience.
Excellent ball distribution, by the way. I tweeted that from the Inter Miami account, or from the Messi & Co account, but I just, you know, like, shout out to CJ Dos Santos, who, you know, of course, as a backup, you don't always get opportunities, and sometimes it's hard to, like, you know, you're coming in cold. But not only did he make good saves and have good awareness, excellent distribution, like, almost better than Drake's. You know, I mean, Drake obviously is a better shot stopper and all that, but just, like, really, really excellent distribution of the ball, and just really, really good performance for him. I'm happy for him.
Yeah, he did amazing. After the game, I was able to talk to him for a bit, and I asked him if, you know, obviously physically, that's one of the parts that I guess everybody focuses on, but mentally it must be tough for him to be on the sideline, know what he's capable of, and not get the amount of chances that he does. And he says he's always staying ready. Obviously, mentally, he's always preparing as if he's going to be, you know, called upon. So that's all good for him. And he definitely showed it. And then I also asked him if, like, what were his expectations? Was he expecting to start the rest of the League's Cup? Was there any indication from Tata Martino that he was going to be the starter in this tournament? We've seen other teams do that in other leagues as well, where, you know, they have a goalkeeper will start in, for example, Copa del Rey in Spain, or whatever other cup. Yeah. So I asked him about that. He said that he hadn't been given any indication yet about whether he was going to be the starting goalkeeper the rest of the League's Cup, but that he regardless is going to keep preparing as if he is, and he'll be ready to step up. And I loved what I saw from the youngster. So that was great. Yannick Bright just continues to impress. We've talked a lot about him over the last few episodes. He just looks amazing. He's everywhere he needs to be. He disrupts everything in the midfield. He not only does he disrupt, but then he distributes right away and makes amazing passes. His fitness level, my goodness, the amount of running that he does, it's
incredible. And he's so young and so strong and so smart. It's crazy.
Yeah, you look at guys like him and then Leo Afonso getting all these minutes, man, like nobody was prepared to get, like, nobody really thought that these two young guys were going to get the amount of minutes they are getting this early on in their career. So that's just great for Inter Miami. Gressel, just, man, I think that for me, and maybe we should probably do a pod on this, just on this subject, maybe a good 15, 20, 25 minutes on this. But I think that, you know, since Messi has left, he started to play as a right winger rather than a right midfielder. And I think, to me, that has completely opened up his game, and he has looked so much better. Not to say that he didn't look good before. We've talked about how we thought he's, you know, even though there are a lot of others that maybe didn't want him even on the field. And I know even us amongst you and I, we had some conversations, but ultimately we thought he was great, a good player on the pitch.
Balance, yeah.
But he looks so much better as a right winger. Incredible, because he doesn't have the speed that you maybe might expect from a right winger, but I think his ability to pass the ball, we see these, like, in curving passes. He put that ball that he put into for Suarez's goal, that was with the outside of the foot. In Spanish we call it tres dedos, the three toes on the outside. Like, that was an incredible pass. like you continue to see that game in and game out. So I think Gressel has obviously been amazing. Suarez comes right in a couple of games in, score right back to scoring. And Matias Rojas, I didn't expect that from that angle.
Matias Rojas is just also just completely has, you know, we talked about that first game back. He was a little slow. We were a little, you know, he was getting back into the team. He has been playing excellent. And yeah, his technical ability is just amazing. I'll tell you what, like we're obviously far away from this needing to happen, and it's a good problem to have. Tata is going to have some really difficult decisions to make when Messi's healthy. Because it's going to be, I mean, you know, right now, Yannick Bright is, to me, almost undroppable. Like, Julian Gressel, undroppable. Matias Rojas playing himself to be undroppable. And if those people have to play, well, then who are you taking out for Messi? Because obviously Messi is going to play, and obviously Suarez is going to play, and obviously Busquets is going to play. So you're starting to, like, really have to mix and match. I think it will be interesting, you know, who gets sacrificed, you know, and when everyone is available and healthy. I mean, Yannick Bright is still young, and I'm sure, you know, he probably would get more of a bench role if everyone is available and healthy to be a second half player. But I'll tell you what, man, I'm watching him play, and he seems like a man amongst boys. And he's been a professional soccer player for 7 months. And the way he's playing is unbelievable. And to be really a defensive midfielder, like, it's not the most glamorous position of all time, you know, but the way he's playing, he's everywhere. Whenever it felt like Puebla had an opportunity, was putting together a couple string of passes, were looking for that open space, he was there. Like, it wasn't happening. And it's just like, it's like mercurial talent. Like, it really, it's just so crazily impressive that I just every game, and it's, he's keeping that consistency and that quality from minute one to minute 90. It's really, really impressive. Like, it's, he should be very proud of how he's playing.
Agreed. And let's not also forget Federico Redondo.
Oh my God. Yeah. Redondo too is playing. He can't be sad either. So who the hell is going to get, who's getting on the bench?
Yeah. I almost wonder, because obviously when Messi comes back, the way that they've used him, they'd have to move Gressel back into the midfield. Mm-hmm. But the way Gressel is playing up there, like, I almost wonder if
they may have Messi as a false nine.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I wonder if they change the way they're using Messi, and maybe a way where he's able to just, yeah, like a false nine, or more of an actual like 10, like right in between, you know, between right under Suarez, between Gressel and Taylor on the left, or whoever you have as your wings. Like, I don't know, just throwing it out there, but I wonder if they change the way they use Messi to be able to keep Gressel on that right wing. Cause to me, this team, man, he just opens up a completely different, like, passing, like something that Inter Miami doesn't really have. Because on that right side, that's where Messi is pictured in the starting lineup, but he's typically not there on that right side. So, so that'll be interesting to see. I will say that watching this game, you know, we looked at this team when we were doing the preview, and we looked at how they were doing in Liga MX standings. And as far as like what their defense looks like, what their offense looks like, and defensively, they were one of the worst teams in Liga MX. So we were expecting more goals. So what I would say is, while this was a good win for Inter Miami, I think that they had a lot of chances that they missed. And I've seen a couple of games now where they've had plenty of chances. And just when it comes to when it's time to put the ball in the back of the net, or even maybe they just get to the final third, which they typically get there with ease, and then they just have issues creating anything once they're there. I think that I expected more goals against this Puebla team that is very poor at defending, and I didn't see it. So where I feel good about the win, I'm also wondering how Inter Miami, like, what learning experiences they got from it, what learning experience Tata got from it, and what he's going to do to figure out a way to get more out of the attack, especially when you're going to face a team like Tigres, which we'll talk about that in a bit, because Tigres is a team that is much more stingier. So again, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but just going back into this game, I think I expected more goals. I think they're going to look back at the tape and see, okay, we should have done more. How do we figure that out before next game?
Agreed. And I mean, look, also as it gets near to when Messi returns and all these things, and, you know, we hope no one else gets injured or there's issues, but I think it's going to start, you know, Tata is going to say it and the coaching staff's going to say it, and the players are going to know if you're not finishing your goals, you're going to lose your starting spot. Like, I think it's like they're at such a high level of play where it's not just like who, you know, creating keeps you on the pitch. You have to finish them. You know, I mean, To what we were saying, Gresso has been absolutely phenomenal. No doubt. He deserves all the praise, and I don't think he's going anywhere. But he misses a lot of chances he gets in terms of scoring himself. He creates a lot, but I can think over the last couple games, like a couple chances where, you know, you want someone really clinical finishing them, and sometimes he doesn't finish the goals as much as he does sets them up. And so you'll see if that becomes a factor later in the season. I mean, Robert Taylor has been excellent at creating and you know, making defenders miss and just creating, but he's missed a couple of his chances. So it'll just be interesting, because I mean, Messi's not going to miss, and Suarez is, but when I, like, if you're asking me, am I a betting man? Like, I'm not betting against Suarez to keep missing them. So it's really, and Matias Rojas right now is finishing every half chance he gets, he's scoring. So that's, you know, it's a good problem to have, right? If you're Tata.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that he's got the players there to mess with the lineup and tinker with it if he needs to. And that's a problem. Like you stated earlier, like, how the heck is he going to do that? But it's a good problem to have. Yeah. Going back to Champions Cup, that wasn't a problem he had. He looked at his bench. You looked at the bench he had there compared to the bench that other teams had, and he was complaining about it and saying, look, you know, I don't have much to do here. It's the opposite now. He's got way more than enough. He has basically two teams that he can mess with.
So it's exciting. It'll be as the season goes on and there's more and more intense, important games, it'll be good to see how everyone gets used. So good start to League's Cup. Hopefully we continue to build on it and we can set ourselves up for maybe back-to-back championships. But something that's not a game that we've played, but that is something that is important to talk about, is where the games are being played and how do you get to go to them? So it's kind of a two-part topic. Part one, it was, a new stadium has been in the process of being built for Inter Miami, and it's been a long road for them even getting the location to make the stadium. They've had to go through a lot of city issues and planning and getting the space, this, that, and the other. And, you know, they were able to break ground, I want to say last year,
August.
Yeah. On what is going to be the new Inter Miami Stadium, which is, like, right now, I'd say it's about like 30 minutes south of where the current stadium is. The current stadium is technically in Fort Lauderdale. It's in, like, it's not technically in Miami. It's a little north of Miami. And it's meant to have been this temporary stadium. It's still like a cool, nice stadium, but it's not, you know, state of the art or big or any of those things that they're trying to do. And so the idea and what we've been told for years was that the plan was to play there in the 2025 season, which would be next season, which is very soon. And we've kind of seen that the progress hasn't exactly been there. And so Jorge Mas, the Mas brothers, had come out basically with a statement this week saying it's actually not going to be next season. It's going to be the season after. It's going to be 2026. And for that season, I think the hope for them was that obviously Messi was going to be able to, you know, kick off the new stadium. I think it could still happen, but, you know, now it's a little bit delayed. And so fans have been frustrated, I think, with that. And then coupled with it this week, fans who have season tickets started to get their renewal emails, basically saying if you want to renew for next season for Inter Miami, with another price increase. And we talked about this last season, towards the end of last season, how the prices have gone up, you know, substantially, obviously, since 2 years ago for this team. And you know, a lot of it, you understand, obviously, these salaries that they're having to pay, like to pay $30 million plus a year for Messi, the money has to come from somewhere. But Messi has been out a lot this season, if we're being completely honest. Like, you know, even before Copa America, when the season started now. And I think people are concerned that the prices keep going to go up, but How is it, you know, is it fair to the fans? Is it fair to the fans who have been there since day one? You know, it's gone up once, it's gone up twice. It's now going up a third time, high amounts. You know, I think fans are frustrated about those two things.
Yeah, it's a shame about the stadium, obviously. You know, either way, like they broke ground August 2023. They promised 2025. They promised either like the summer of 2025 or the late fall of 2025. And even that to me kind of seemed like a bit
a stretch. Yeah.
Yeah. Like a stretch to begin with. And I think that part of it might, I hate to say these sorts of things, but look, it's a business and we've seen Inter Miami do some things, say some things, or refrain from saying some things, because they know how what they say, what they announce will affect sales, will affect business, will affect tickets, ticket sales, and that sort of thing. So, hey, if you've got a promise that you're going to have a new stadium with Messi playing in your stadium in 2025, that's going to help with season tickets. That's going to help with team sponsors, with brands coming in, all that sort of thing. I think it's a bit different if you say in 2023, hey, we're going to have a stadium ready in 2026 with possibly no Messi, when Messi's contract is over at the end of 2025. So, you know, at the end of the day, I'm gonna say that I'm going to hope that they were genuine, that they thought that they could get this done in 2025. From the beginning, they said that they were going to fast track it, that they were getting as many resources as possible. They hired someone that has been a real estate developer in real estate development for a long time as someone that was going to head that project. They were hoping that that person's experience would help with that. So I think that hopefully they were being genuine with that, but maybe they just, They overshot and they couldn't deliver on what they said. And ultimately a project like this, I think usually is going to take 3 years, and that's what it's going to look like in 2026. So it just stinks, because I don't know if Messi's going to be here. Is he going to renew? Is Busquets going to renew, and Alba and all them? Like, how is this, what is this team going to look like? Is this going to be the same team that's at the top of the Supporters Shield standings? Is this going to be a team that's got all-stars in 2026? Because hey, when the All-Stars don't play, when Messi's not playing, this Chase Stadium does not fill up. Is Freedom Park going to fill up in 2026 if you don't have these guys? That's going to look bad. A half-empty stadium. And not to mention, this is supposed to be built as not just a venue to watch football, to watch soccer, but it's a venue that's going to have world-class food and dining experiences. It's going to
hotels,
have
the, academies,
the,
hotels,
the best of the shops and all that stuff. Are those people that were planning on being there, are they going to start to pull out and say, hey, I thought I was going to, you know, launch my store, launch my restaurant in 2025 with Messi being around? Are those people going to start to get out? So I don't know. I just think it's bad for business, obviously, that they're not able to finish this in 2025 and pushing it to 2026 when you have no idea what this team is going to look like. The idea is hopefully that with what people have seen of Inter Miami, other stars are going to follow suit. So hopefully that'll be the case. But then as far as the season ticket holders, man, I can understand why there was an increase. You couldn't have possibly, at least like the first increase, you couldn't have possibly thought that you're going to have all these players come in and be one of the best teams and not have some sort of an increase, especially for the Miami, South Florida. You know, I know it's for a lot of a South Florida market, which we know this is one of the most expensive markets ever. Look at Heat tickets, for example, or Dolphins tickets.
Yeah.
But to do it back to back and on the eve of announcing that your stadium is going to be pushed back another year with what looks like no Messi, I think there's a bit of it's a bit tone deaf. I think you already saw the uproar that came from all the fans. Like, how do you do this back to back? And from what I've read, it was a substantial increase. It's not like, hey, we know we increased this, sorry, we're gonna try, it's gonna be a little.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
The more we're going to know, it's we're going to increase it substantially again. No new stadium, no new benefits. In fact, we're taking away some of the benefits.
Yeah.
So all in all, it's just not a good look, I think, for Inter Miami. And as some of the fans pointed out, one of them, you guys might know, he's been on the show before, Trav. He mentioned like, hey, why the heck am I going to get season tickets when the season tickets are overpriced or are priced high because of Messi and he's not playing 50% of the games? I'll save money if I just go on a game-to-game basis. And he's got he's got it right. I took my wife to a game for $40 the other day. That ticket, if I would have been a season ticket holder, it would have been about $150 from what I've gathered. Yeah. So it's just all around a big mess, not a good look for Inter Miami. I wish they would have handled this a bit different, and I sympathize with the fans 100%.
Agreed. Look, it's difficult. It's difficult. We've talked about it a lot. It's a very hard situation to manage. And I think sometimes people also don't factor in the fact that like this team is still only 4 years old, 5 years old. Like, you know, people say football heritage and all that stuff. Well, when you're like Barcelona or Man United or all these things, like you have that built in and you know you're going to have a sold out no matter who's playing and who's that. But it's different. First, it's different in the US and it's different when you're a new team, like the amount they have to invest and the amount they pay for. I'm not justifying any of it, but I'm just saying it's different than what people, you know, equate it to in terms of like the European giants. Like it's a different business and it's a different time. But yeah, there's a lot of things that we always say. There's a lot of things we wish were done differently or done better. And it'll be interesting to see what the reaction does and if there are changes and you know, what it's going to look like. We're seeing on the field great changes and great updates and great moments. I think they're still working on the off the field part, you know, and the fan part. And it's we'll have to wait and see. So we'll keep updating this issue and this topic. We'll talk about it as, you know, there's more updates and more things to talk about. But, you know, it was obviously a big part of the news this week. So we definitely wanted to give it a mention. But the next thing to go back on the field now we've gone off the field, on the field, off the field, on the field. Who is going to be available on the field for not only the game this Saturday, but the games in the next few weeks, the games in the next few months? You know, we have only important games to come, right? Like almost every game from now until the end of the season has much more importance, whether it's for a champion, like it's for a competition like Leagues Cup, whether it's for seeding in the playoffs, whether it's for securing the Supporters' Shield. And then when it's eventually the playoffs and you're playing for the cup, every game is starting, you know, we're getting to the business end of the season where it's important games, important moments. Who is going to be available? And starting with the most important person, Lionel Messi. So the update we have this week for his injury is that he is supposed to start light on the field training this week. And the goal from, you know, different sources, nothing, obviously not from Inter Miami, obviously not from an official source, but the goal and what they're hoping is that he is going to be available by the end of August, by the end of this month, in the next like 3 to 4 weeks, which if the team continues on the path they are, would coincide with, you know, the end of Leagues Cup and the semifinals and finals of the Leagues Cup. And the goal is that he will be back by then. Do we think that's going to happen? I don't know. I think it's going to depend on, you know, the updates again the next couple of weeks, how his recovery goes. But that's what they're saying, and it'll be interesting to see. What are your thoughts?
I don't know if he plays a Leagues Cup. I mean, look, Messi's a competitor. Maybe if we make it to the final, and he wants to be on the pitch for his players and his team, maybe. But I don't know. I feel like at this stage in his career, he prioritizes his health over everything, I think. Especially, again, we know that it's all about Argentina for him too, or more than anything, rather. And Argentina is going to have World Cup qualifiers coming up over the next few months. I believe it starts in September. So I think that for me, he's pointing to make sure that he's ready for World Cup qualifiers. That's my
and the
my
playoffs. Thought. I think the playoffs are also
the playoffs as well. Yeah. So the playoffs, because Leagues Cup, I think if he feels 100%, I don't think he's going to risk it. I guess that's the point. If he's not 100%, he's not going to play in my eyes. And I think that the team is okay with that. I feel like the team would rather him be ready to win the MLS Cup or be ready to play in the MLS Cup. Yeah. I also think that we have to remember we are still not sure. And when I say we, I think all of us who are fans of football in MLS, we're still not 100% sure who MLS or who USA Soccer is going to send to the World Cup of Club World Cup, the FIFA Club World Cup. Because we are the host nation, we get an extra slot that we get to send in. They're still trying to figure that out.
Right.
And it's probably going to be either the Leagues Cup champion or it's going to be the winner of the MLS Cup.
Right.
So obviously, I think that Inter Miami is like, okay, if we can win Leagues Cup, that's good. But we want to make sure that we cement our way to that World Cup, that Club World Cup for FIFA. And they're going to point. Those are two. To me, those are more important right now than Leagues Cup. They want to make sure that they make it.
Playing great. Like, it's not like they're playing like scrubs. You know, they're playing really good. So.
No, I think this team can probably get to Leagues Cup final without Messi. And I think with him, obviously, much better. Without him, I still think they've got enough to make a finals run and hopefully win it. I think we'll, as we start to see some of these other teams, especially like Tigres and other of these top teams play, we'll kind of figure out how these teams kind of line up against some of the other better teams in this Leagues Cup. So, yeah. But yeah, I'm not 100% on Messi. I would say unless he's 100%, he's not gonna play. I don't think.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, to also, like we said, like, I'm not ruling it out because he knows his body well, he heals well. And if all things go well, you know, the Leagues Cup final is at, I think it's about 6 weeks since the Copa final. And, you know, that was within the range. And if he feels good, like, I think it's both sides of the coin. If he doesn't feel good and if he feels at risk, definitely not playing. If he feels like he can play, he'll always choose to play, which is why we love him, right? Like, because he always wants to help and do it. So I think it's just going to be a matter of time and matter of seeing other players. Diego Gomez, someone we've talked about, big loan move to Brighton. You know, we've been talking about it for a very long time, and we thought that was going to mean the end of him playing for Inter Miami this summer. However, it's looking like we get to keep him until December, which we talked about before, but it's just amazing. And, you know, Inter Miami doing a really good bit of business there. And so once he gets back from the Olympics, he will be back on the squad. And that's another player. Like, who do you take out for Diego Gomez? Because he most likely starts, you know, in your best 11. So it's really a good problem to have. But his availability, Kremaski, you know, the U.S. men's national team made it to the round of 16, or the quarterfinals, whatever it is. So
and we saw him get some there. So that was nice to see.
Yeah. So he's still there and waiting for him to come back.
Christoph was training.
Federico Redondo, or not Redondo, Facundo Farias is training, but like we said, he's not playing this year, but still good to see him back on grass.
Yeah, 100%. I think that anytime you see a player after such a big injury actually running and getting work in, that's always very promising. And, that's somebody else that next season you got another guy he's a starter. So I'm just another guy to add to the mix. And with Christoph coming back, I know he's not the starter, but you've got just some more depth at center back, even though you've got Noah Allen there as well. So that just gives, you know, you got Noah, Christoph, Saylor, you've got a good amount of players that can step in.
Ian Frey, you know, if needed. Yeah.
Ian Frey as well. So we're looking to, other than some players that you weren't expecting anyways, this team is just looking very healthy and getting back to basically everybody available pretty soon.
I do think, though, it is important for us to say, you know, we are talking about, like, who is going to stay and who's going to play, like, you know, with the team at its best, which is important. but it's also important to know who, what if we lose players, right? Like the transfer window is open, and it's open until the end of August. And there are players that we've talked about that we love and that who do start or that do play that Inter Miami may be able to make good business on. And well, now knowing how stacked this team is, whether it's a Robert Taylor, whether it's a Leo Campana, I mean, I don't know. You'll have to see. Like, we'll have to see what they consider to be worthwhile trades to free up, whether it's international slots to free up general allocation money or to, you know, get back some of the money they've spent on some of their big players, knowing that they do really have a lot of depth in all of these positions that we're seeing. Like, I love Robert Taylor. I don't want him going anywhere. Let me make that very, very clear. But like, you know, we could easily be in a world where like Matias Rojas starts on the left or even Leo Alfonso or Gressel moves to the left and Messi's on the right. Like, I can see a couple of situations where, you know, Robert Taylor isn't in the squad and I would still feel good about the squad. I love Robert Taylor. I don't want him to leave. I'm just saying, you know, like there are some players where you don't want them to go, but Inter Miami have set itself up. Even Diego Gomez can play as the left winger. You know, you've set yourself up where you have options, which is all you want, right?
Yeah. No, yeah, I understand that. I would just say also just from an optic standpoint, I don't know how good that would look, though, on Inter Miami to just get rid of Robert Taylor like that. I mean, at the same time,
what if a team gives them a lot of good resources for him?
I understand that. But I'm talking about from like, you want some of the best players to come to Inter Miami. And I think that's something that players look for are loyalty. They look for a place that they can feel confident that they're going to be able, like, if I'm leaving whatever place, maybe I'm playing in Argentina, maybe I'm playing at another place that I really want, that I really enjoy, but I want to go play for Inter Miami because Inter Miami has cemented themselves as one of the premier teams in MLS. They bring in the best players, but if I'm sacrificing something to come here, I want a sense of stability. And I think players like stability and they want to go somewhere where they don't have to worry about, hey, if I come here and I sacrifice everything I got back home to be here, am I just going to be sent out? You know, they signed Kamal Miller. They traded him away. Like they've signed players and they literally put out a press release that says so-and-so has been signed. Welcome back home for another 2 years. Like they literally will go above
and beyond. That's business, Gian. That's business.
No, I understand that, but it's not. It's different than you sign someone and next year you sell them or 2 years from now. No, they have signed players and say welcome home. You'll be staying at Chase Stadium for the next 2 years, and within a month they're gone. They're gone. Like that doesn't look good for other players that want to come to Inter Miami.
I'm not saying Robert Taylor's getting traded. I was just giving an example. Though,
but if he does, that would look so bad. That would look awful. Especially after Robert Taylor has sacrificed so much for this team. He sacrificed so much. He's been called to Finland not gone because he has his commitment with Inter Miami, and he knows how much the team depends on him, especially when other players were leaving on international duty. He said, I'm going to stay here because I know how much this team depends on me. I'm sorry. I understand the business side. I'm not ignorant. I understand the business side. And maybe something like if you tell me like, oh, we sell them for a certain amount of money, whatever, we made this and we're going to invest it into something else. I understand it. I'm just talking here purely optics. That would look awful, awful, awful. For any other player,
we'll cross that bridge if we come to it. I hope not.
I hope not. I hope not.
I'm just saying the transfer, you know, the transfer window is open. To think that in Miami is going to do zero business between now and the 31st of August, I don't know. I don't feel like that's true. I think there probably will be some stuff done here or there. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. We'll keep you guys updated as we know. But what we can talk about and that we do know for sure is that Inter Miami is playing again this Saturday against Tigres in the second group stage for the Leagues Cup game. And this is going to be played not home, away at NRG Stadium in Houston, the football stadium, to what will be still think will be a very big crowd because obviously Tigres is a very popular team in Mexico, and there's a lot of Mexican fans and you know, people who go to professional sports games in Texas. And so I think you'll see a pretty big crowd regardless. And it will be it will definitely be another big test for Inter Miami because we said, look, against Puebla, they played really well. Against the last few opponents outside of Cincinnati, they've played really, really well and have not seemed like they were afraid of anyone. But Puebla is 12th or 13th in Liga MX and Tigres is second. And so a much different team, a much better team for all intents and purposes, and not a home game. So what are you thinking for this game? It's definitely more of a test.
Yeah, it's definitely more of a test. Tigres is a much better team than Puebla on paper. And I mean, I know it's a short time. They're only four games into the Liga MX season, but still they're already, I'm seeing here that the top of the table, obviously over there, they're very stingy defense. They've only allowed one goal. So I think that Inter Miami needs to make sure that they are on top of their game, as I was mentioning earlier, when it comes to attacking. I think that's something that will be interesting, though, is if you guys are listening to this, watch the game tonight, because Tigres is actually playing Puebla tonight for Leagues Cup. They're going to be playing in Houston, so that'll kind of give you a measuring tape as to, like, okay, Inter beat Puebla 2-0. What does Puebla look against Tigres? And then you can kind of, you know, figure it out there what to expect with that game. But Tigres is a really good team. They've scored 6 goals, 4, so they're one of the top goal scoring teams as well. So not only a great defense, but great offense. So I think with Inter Miami, their defense has continued to look good and look better, especially now with, you know, our new defender and our new center back pairing there. Chelo's back.
Martinez really did fantastic for his opener.
He played amazing. He played really good. I think for me, it's just going to be, is Inter Miami going to be able to finish the chances that they get? And can they continue this really good performance that they have had defensively as of late? When you look at a team that can score so well, like Tigres does, do you keep Yannick Bright in the game? Like, he just gives you so much confidence in that midfield defensively. You can almost play a back line of five without playing a back line of five with Yannick there. Like, he's literally everywhere.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I think that is, what is Tata going to do there? How does he take Yannick out? Does he not? That'll be interesting to see. But again, I'm going to be paying attention tonight to this game and seeing what they do. They've got some strong attackers up front. Gignac, Cordoba, Flores, Bigón. Like, these are some top-notch guys that are really good scorers. And we'll have to see, but I expect a tougher game, I guess, is what I'm getting to. I expect a much tougher game than against Puebla. We are obviously now going to, you know, they have a quicker turnaround, so that's also something to look at. We haven't played since Saturday. We're going to have a week's rest. Mm-hmm. They're actually going to have a quick, they play tonight, Wednesday, and then they play on Saturday night. So we'll also have to see if maybe that plays into the game as well. Are they going to play? Are they, knowing that they're going to play against Puebla, is Tigres going to play maybe a few guys to have them ready for the game against Miami, thinking that, hey, we can beat Puebla? Or, you know, so there's a lot to see. But I think that obviously Inter Miami, for me, when I'm looking at them, I think that they can win this game, but I think it's going to be a lot tougher and it's going to be a challenge. Man, if they beat Tigres, that can kind of, I think, expand into what we can expect the rest of the tournament for them.
100%. No, it's a big game. It's a big game for just confidence and just to be a good test about the ability of this team and, you know, the overall tournament as well. So agreed. I'm really excited to watch it. And, you know, hopefully we learn a lot of good things and we kind of get to reinforce the things we've been saying over these last few weeks. And so it'll be a great game. And that'll be Saturday at 8 p.m. So make sure you're ready to tune in. Let's give our predictions. You know what time it is. It's prediction time. This may be one of our most difficult predictions we've had to do in a while. Yeah. I think this is a really tough one. This is going to be what I think going to be a close game and a really good game.
It's definitely going to be close. It's definitely going to be tough. And I don't think I don't expect a lot of goals, I think, in this one, especially from Miami. You know, I think Inter is, I think it's going to be such a close game that it might be one of those where it looks like it's going to go to penalties, and maybe Inter Miami scores at the end with a beautiful goal from Suarez or somewhere along those lines. But for me, it's going to be, I think Tigres scores at least one, given that they have a really strong offense. I'm going to go with Inter Miami just continuing to play really good defense. I'm hoping Yannick is there. So I think Tigres won and Inter is going to score two. I think it'll be a 2-1 game and it's going to be tight. It'll be a game that, who knows, maybe we even go down early. I think that that's going to be important, is Inter needs to be from the very beginning, set the tone. They have to set the tone from the beginning. If they want to win this game, you can't play from behind against such a good team like Tigres.
I know we don't like to do this often. I feel the exact same way. I'm going to say 2-1 also. I think you're 100% right. I could even see a situation where it's 1-1 and they have to go to penalties and Inter Miami win. But I think it's going to be 2-1. Really close, tight game. But I'm going to take, you know, I'm going to take the ability of Suarez, of Alba, Busquets in the late game situation to be able to either score the winning goal or, you know, make sure the other team doesn't score an equalizer. Like I you know, the technical ability of Matias Rojas, Robert Taylor, etc., Gressel, like I think they'll create enough chances for Suarez and each other to be able to get to. So I'm saying the same thing, 2-1.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, I just don't think you can go past two goals for any team.
Yeah,
it's just impossible.
And if we score more than that, it'll be, you know, we'll be the happiest people on earth.
No, I mean, if we score more, I think that just would speak volumes to how connected, well-rounded, and prepared this Inter Miami team is, and how skilled they are. They're able to get three on Tigres. I just think that because Tigres is such a good team defensively, and because Inter Miami, they're a completely different team defensively in the second part of the season.
Yeah.
I think that I can't see any of these teams scoring more than two. And obviously I think Inter Miami wins. So it's gotta be 2-1. I don't think Miami is gonna shut out a team like Tigres, which is why you give them the 2-1. But alternate score, what you said earlier, 1-1 penalties. Alternate, but 2-1 is what we're both agreeing with here. But it's definitely going to be one of those games where it's got you on the edge of your seat, I think. Yeah. And you're going to be yelling, you're going to be screaming, you're going to run around.
I can't watch. Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be a fun game, I think.
Agreed. Well, let us know in the comments your prediction, if you agree, if you disagree. And we're super excited for the game. If there's more updates of players, of personnel, of just the game in general, you know we'll be there to give them. And as always, make sure you are following us on Twitter/X to get all of these updates at Messi & Co. Subscribed on YouTube, notification bell on, following us on TikTok, all of that good stuff that we always talk about. We're getting to that part of the season where the games they're coming thick and fast and they're all important, right? Like I said earlier, whether it's Leagues Cup, whether it's seeding, whether it's the playoffs, all of it, every game is important. And every team update, every player update is super important. And we're going to be there for every step of the way. So thank you for watching this episode of Messi & Co. I'm Ashley, that is Gian, and we will see you next time.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.